thanks for joining us for this latest episode of Spill the Tea. Amy Rogers here with you alongside my good friend, a face you'll recognize, a voice you'll recognize, very familiar, always hosting Golf Central, Anna Jackson. How you doing?
Hello. Hello. I'm very good. Thank you, Amy Rogers. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, for those of you just joining us for this episode of Spill the Tea, we like to talk about golf, but not really about golf. It's about all the things sort of around golf. And for this episode, we have an exciting guest that's going to be joining us, former world number one, multiple major champion, Lydia Ko is going to stop by and spend a little time with us. We caught up with her just before she headed over for the Asia Swing. So a huge stretch coming up for her. She's going to be defending not once, but twice over this closing stretch of the season. But before we get into our interview with Lydia Ko, Anna, what have you been up to? I haven't seen you since what, Solheim? We were getting ready for Solheim Cup?
No. Yeah, I think it was the week before Solheim, wasn't it? What have I been doing? Well, I don't know how to say this, but I've been basking in the glory of Team Europe for the last...
you're wearing your blue, you're showing your spirit.
The Solheim Cup, the Ryder Cup, the Junior Solheim and the Junior Ryder Cup. It was a clean sweep for Europe and I'm very proud. But I understand, you know, we have an American audience, so I'm not going to be that annoying, gloating European English girl. But it was what a couple of weeks we had. I mean, you were at the Solheim Cup and I was in studio kind of holding down the base, and you and Cara and Paige McKenzie were out there. The course looked tough. It looked like an amazing week though. And that first tee, probably one of the best first tees we've ever seen at the Solheim.
Yeah, the stands were pretty amazing. You know, when you're looking just straight up vertically and people are like camped out trying to get a spot, I had gone down there on Sunday and it was totally full. There was no room for anybody. They were just standing, waiting, trying to get in, as you probably saw from watching. I mean, it was a gorgeous golf course. And as you had, you know, previewed in advance because you had already been there, the views were amazing. I mean, second to none, but it is so hilly. I don't know how to begin to describe to people how hard it was to get around this golf course. I mean, they had warnings for like steep slopes. I mean, that's not typical at most of these golf courses that we go to. So it was a grind. I mean, these players.
What was the access like for the fans? Could they get around the course, or were there just sort of dedicated grandstands and the access sort of wasn't as good as it could be?
It was not ideal. I mean, it was definitely not what it could have been. You know, and I've never had so many fans ask me for a ride on my golf cart because they were just out of breath. I mean, they were exhausted. I mean, these are like straight up the hill. Like, I hope you did lots of training and cardio before you got there, because like they were worn out. I mean, it was a grind if you wanted to get out there and really watch the golf. And then it wasn't as tough for the players where they were around the fairways. It wasn't as hilly, but it was still a tough walk. And they talked about that too with the Ryder Cup, that it was really hilly. The TV just doesn't do justice in trying to capture how challenging, you know, these weeks are. Just trying to get around.
I really liked what Megan Kang said, actually, when she was playing with Lexi Thompson. She said that Lexi's just like a monster. She's got these long legs, and in during their match, which I think they won, she was like, Lexi was like, come on Megan, keep up. She was like, yeah, my little legs just aren't quite built like that around this course. It was brilliant. And most importantly, any sangria, any tapas that we need to know about?
I didn't have anything exciting, unfortunately. You know, it's you're so well intentioned when you get over
I
there
know.
And when I found out that they drive on the other side of the road, like we do in the United States, I was like, yes, I can do this. So I sign up. I was like, yes, get me a rental car. Normally I don't do that. And then I don't go anywhere because there's no time. You know, you're getting up in the dark, you're leaving the golf course in the dark. There's hardly any time to really like take in the experience. And then after this crazy long week, I have this crazy time trying to get home, you know, and you have to get up, get on the road early, because you're going to get back late regardless, just because of the time change. So I'm up at 2 a.m. local time in Spain to get ready to go to the airport, wheels up 2:45 in the morning, get to the airport. It's like a blur. You're in the dark. It's so early. And I was okay getting out of Malaga. I get to Paris where my connection is, and there's like a 25 minute delay. And I was like, that's not too bad. You know, they can make that up in the air. Like, we're going to be fine. So my connection was in JFK and then from JFK home to Cincinnati. So we end up landing in JFK and you're in like terminal 4 and have to go to terminal 1. I could have those reversed, but you have to take a bus and you have to go back out through security, back in through security, transfer your bag. And I have like 45 minutes to get from terminal 1 to terminal 4. I am literally running with my carry-on. Like I am sweating profusely. I've been up since 2:45 in the morning. I've already been on a 7-hour flight and I'm in the line at the TSA pre-check and I am like yelling to this Delta representative, like, ma'am, I'm going to miss my connection. Can you please help me? Please. So she jumps me in front of like however many people she can, but then I still have to wait to get through like the detectors and all of that. And she's like, well, where is your gate? And she's like, it's basically at the end. She's like, you're literally going to have to run.
So stressful.
I get there. It's 8 minutes prior to takeoff, but they've already closed the door because they closed the boarding door like 15 minutes prior.
Oh, God.
So I miss my connection.
No.
Next flight is not for like 6 hours later. And you're like, all you want to do is get home. It's already been like the longest day. So it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The next one's not till 7. So I'm just hanging out in JFK. I get some lunch and I end up seeing that there's this other flight, not direct to Cincinnati, but I can get through Detroit and I would get home sooner because as I'm waiting, my flight has now been delayed 3 times to get out of JFK.
And I'm
like, this is like snowballing. And you know, when they like keep delaying and you're like, I might not get out of here at all.
I'm sleeping here tonight. Out
of this airport. Yeah. So I end up, I change, I go and connect in Detroit and then from Detroit to Cincinnati. So like 4 flights, I finally land around 10:30. My bag is, I don't know where. I just go to the Delta desk. I was, can you just deliver it to my house whenever it shows up? I just want to go home at this point. So I get home. It was like 26 hours door to door, just getting home from Soul Life Co.
Wow. Wow. You poor thing. That's a good one.
Exhausting.
That's up there with one of the best ones.
I get 2 hours or 2 weeks or 2 days at home, 2 nights at home. And then I went to Arkansas for the 3-day event there. So it's a bit of a whirlwind, I have to say, the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. This is it. It's obviously amazing to be at these events. And it's like I thought, you know, how much I would have loved to have been in Italy. But, you know, equally, I was one of those sickos who got up at 1:30 in the morning and watched the first tea. But at least the commute is only 10 yards from my bed to the lounge to watch these things. There's no traveling back and forth. So, you're a survivor, Amy Rogers. You made it back.
Well, speaking of long commutes, as we teased earlier, we're going to catch up with Lydia Ko. She was just getting ready to make her own crazy commute. She had just been in Korea, was in Arkansas, and was getting ready to head back to Korea, embarking on the LPGA's Asia swing. So we're going to catch up with her, kind of talk a little bit about her season, defending coming up. And what I was most excited about, she talks about her life now as a newlywed, being a married woman, and she also dishes on her celebrity crush. All right, well, we are excited to have a special guest join us for this episode of Spill the Tea, a guest that despite her crazy travel schedule, jet setting from Korea to Arkansas and back to Korea again, kind enough to spend some time with us. Lydia Ko, thank you for joining our podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Speaking of all the travel, how do you do it? How do you juggle all the jet lag, traveling all over the world? What do you enjoy about just getting to travel the world?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You know, I think it's something that we're very grateful to be able to go and experience different cultures, you know, meet people from all around the world, play on different types of golf courses, have lots of good food, local food. But then, you know, by the end of the year or by this time, I think most of the players are pretty excited to not fly. But at the same time, you know, we've got our Asia swing coming up. But you know, it's obviously a little longer trip flying over. But after, once you're there, you know, from Shanghai to Korea and to Malaysia, it's not that bad of a trip. And then to Japan. So I'm really excited for it. I've always loved traveling. I feel like There are ways to kind of get around jet lag. I like to fly at night, so I land in the morning, so I'm productive during the day, and then tired enough to like so that I don't wake up because of jet lag. But obviously, a lot tougher when you're coming from Asia over back into the US. But it is part of our job, and yes, it can get tiring, but I think for most parts, I think we're very just lucky to be able to do what we do.
Yeah, the LPGA schedule sometimes can be absolutely brutal on you guys when it comes to travel. Lydia, how do you sort of approach your travel? Do you dabble in a little bit of private jet? I can't imagine you fly cattle class anywhere. How do you approach the quality of your travel? Because you are one of the best athletes in the world.
I think, people like think that we like fly business all the time, fly private jets, but that's really it's not as glamorous as what people think. I think I've gone on like two private jets, maybe or once like flights, and that was for like a charity event where it was like taking a bunch of us from one location to the event. But other than that, I don't think I've ever taken like a private flight to a tournament. Sometimes when we go from small city to another small city, like let's say Toledo to like Atlantic City, not that that is back to back, like you do wish like there was like you owned a little private plane and you could just go direct rather to go through like a different city. But it's like I said earlier, it is part of like what we do. And I think players obviously they have a different way they approach the schedule, but for me, I don't really like to play more than 3 4 weeks in a row, so I'm trying to be smart on like what makes sense logistically, and also like when I can have the break so that I come fresh for the next stretch.
Yeah, you mentioned the Asia swing and having to play a few weeks over there. I always remember from these Asia swings the crazy photo calls that they do, which we don't do over here in the United States, where they get a bunch of players together. And I've seen you guys dressed up in some like pretty interesting outfits. What's like the weirdest, craziest photo call that you've been a part of over the years?
I think one of the most standouts were it was a long time ago, maybe like 9 8 years ago in Singapore. I did one, and they had like set up almost like a band, and there was like a drum, like set of drums, and like a guitar and a singer, and maybe I did the drums. Yeah, I can't. We were like out on the golf course at Serapong on the Sentosa Golf Club. We're doing it, and like I've seen that photo like gone through. That's been a standout. And then also at that event, I think they did like a fashion show runway. So I remember doing one there, and actually like a Korean traditional hanbok fashion show for the event that we used to have in Korea as well. So I think some go like very traditional, like obviously in Korea, celebrating and showcasing the traditional clothes that they used to wear in the day. And then some are just like wild ideas. I'm not really sure where it came from, but it is really cool. Obviously, like you wouldn't want to be doing that every week. It's most
No.
of the time it's like the same people that do like press conferences or protocols. So to do that like every week for some, like I'd say like Lilia, who's number one, she'd probably be like requested to do it. And I think if she had to do something like that every week, that would be pretty draining. But every now and then it's like a pretty cool, I guess, marketing approach. And if it can showcase like the local clothing or culture, I think it's a really cool way to like for the tour and the city or country to kind of connect.
Yeah, I can imagine sometimes you look around and you think, "Come on, guys, who's making us do this? Why are we doing this?" But they are. We absolutely love them, and good for you guys for being such a good sport. You mentioned part of the beauty of travel, Lydia, is the food and exploring all the different culinary cultures. And I know you are a little bit of a foodie, especially when it comes to Korea. Sort of, what are your go-to evening travel dinners that are an absolute staple every week?
I'm very fortunate that for most weeks I travel with my mom, especially in domestic events, and so that's why we try and stay at like a residence inn or those hotels with like a kitchenette. So like she will cook like Korean food for most parts, and like she'll travel with like the kimchi that she made at home. So sometimes even before you open the suitcase, you can smell the kimchi from the outside. So like that my mom cooks is great. I think when I first came on tour, I was like very like stubborn in the sense like I wanted Korean food for breakfast. Like lunch obviously was at dining, and then dinner would be Korean food. But now, I don't know, like since like I've moved out and like I've had to branch off and like do my own stuff. I've kind of like gotten to appreciate like and like explore that it doesn't have to be one way. So I enjoy like having avocado toast, or like I'll make my own overnight oats. And so it's just like I think I've kind of opened up my genre and interest of food. So yeah, I think like 2 years ago, if you asked me, I'd be like, okay, where's the nearest Korean restaurant? I'm going there. But now I might like say, oh, let's go have Thai food or Italian food, or like, where's the best pizza
Has
place?
your mom passed down any of her famous signature recipes to you?
Yes, she's like told me there's this kind of soup that's my husband's favorite soup. So she gave me the recipe, and we've made it at home a couple of times, and my husband says like when at the time he told me mine was better, but he actually said later actually my mom's is better. So I was like
That's a very wise
which
husband, Lydia.
I don't blame him, my mom's an yeah he was but my mom's an amazing cook. I'm lucky that I'm able to have like her like home cooking.
Speaking of your husband, how is married life? We're so happy for you. Congratulations. How's the first sort of 6 months been of the journey?
It's been good. Not much has changed because, going into the year, I thought, okay, maybe I'll play like 20-ish events, which was what I played last year. But I think I'm gonna play closer to like 22 or 23 because I played some other events on other tours. So I haven't played like necessarily any less, so that we've got to spend more time together. Obviously didn't play the first event of the year at my home club, just so that we could have those kind of like that 8-ish days of our honeymoon, and just enjoy us time. But I guess like when the season starts, like it's busy and you're constantly on the go, and if you have a week off, it's more like 4 or 5 days off because you need to travel again. So it's been fun. I guess like for me, I think sometimes I feel bad because I'm the one that's always leaving, and the person and my husband always the one that's like staying behind. And but he's such a great sport and a super understanding of what I do. And I said I don't think I could personally meet a golfer because I don't think I could understand all that traveling, and especially if both of us are traveling. But he really accommodates to like my schedule, which I'm very appreciative of.
I know June sometimes does get to travel with you. What is it like being able to share some of these experiences together and have him with you out on the road?
Yeah, I think maybe Palos Verdes was the first time where he was there the whole week, because it was in between like his jobs. So like before then, like at CME last year, he'd come like on Saturday, after work finished on Friday, and then just see the weekend, and that would happen for a couple of the other events he went to. But no, it was kind of the first week that he was there. Like he knows, like okay, I play a pro-am on a Wednesday. There's tea times. It's just like a whole schedule, like what my day is like, and like what I do on like a Monday to practice. And yeah, it's just I think it would have been. I think he said it was like different. Like he didn't realize like how much like time and effort like not only me but like like how like all the players put in, and I think just sometimes even though you're around it, like unless you're there to experience it, like you can't really gauge exactly what goes on, and like especially on a Monday or Tuesday where it's closed ropes and it's just really the players with their caddies and coaches, and like I think like to a lot of people golf is like fun, right? It's like what they do in their off time, that they're like, oh, 5 hours at the golf course, that's paradise. But it's like it's yeah it's yes like we're lucky be out there and do that, but it's like it's 5 hours or maybe 6, 7 or maybe 4 hours of like players grinding, you know, getting used to the golf course, like getting their game ready. So it's like I think the perspective is different, but it's I think he understands it, and he's very supportive. And I think like when he's at a tournament, it's like he's like, okay, what can I do? And you know, he's just he's my number one supporter. So, yeah, I'm very lucky.
It sounds like you two are an absolute perfect fit together, and he sounds so supportive. But you know, the first year of marriage, you do find out things about each other maybe you didn't know before. Annoying habits, for example, I learned my husband likes to leave wet towels on the bed or puts things on top of the dishwasher instead of in the dishwasher. Are there any little annoying habits that you've learned about June in the first year of marriage?
I don't think so. I mean, like, luckily we had a transition before we got married where we got to like spend time together and like get our apartment ready and all that. So it's just like it wasn't like day one of marriage and it's like surprise, like I do this. So like, I don't I'm lucky that you're not like whoa like taken back from anything. I'm not like the super like clean kind of style, and he's definitely not that either. And like he might leave like you know a hanger like on the bed, but like it doesn't really bother me because like if it bothers me, then I'm just gonna like put it like in the closet or like whatever. So I think we're very similar in the sense, and you know I don't think I haven't found anything like weird yet, but maybe it is because it's a honeymoon, like everything looks good.
Just wait, Lydia. You're gonna find something. Just wait. All right, before we let you go, we want to have a little fun. We got a few questions here we like to do with each of our guests. We're going to get you to really spill the tea on these. A few quick questions here to have some fun. All right, first one, if you just had one meal you could eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, pork ribs with my mom's like
Ooh.
gochujang sauce.
All right, nice.
Delicious. Good choice. Lydia, who do you text the most?
The husband.
Makes sense. All right, how about the one
It's my husband.
celebrity? All right, how about the one celebrity or athlete that you would get to meet that would make you geek out the most? And maybe you've met them already.
I would love to meet Tom Hardy.
Oh, a bit of a celeb crush there.
Yes.
How does June feel about this? Is he aware?
very yeah. I think Tom Hardy and Roger Federer are my like two crushes.
Very
Very,
two very contrasting individuals.
very different, but it's just the person that I like, not the doesn't have to be like the physical looks.
Have you ever listened to Tom Hardy reading bedtime stories on podcasts? It's very soothing, Lydia. When you go to bed
Oh,
tonight.
wow, I'm gonna do that, and Jesus is gonna be like, what are you listening
Yeah, that British
He's gonna
accent
end up
just
learning the weird thing about her instead of the other way around.
couple more. Do you ever Google yourself, Lydia? And what do you think for what pops up?
I don't really Google myself, but I have done it before, but it's not like an every third Wednesday I but I have, and I think it was more I changed something or I didn't play as well. I wanted to kind of see how if people were not saying nice things about me. I don't want to know about the good stuff, but sometimes I'm curious.
All right, what's the one thing you can't live without on the road?
On the road, my cell phone, because a lot of the times I am not able to travel with my husband, and that's the thing that keeps me connected. So thank God I live in this era where FaceTime and there's different ways to message. I don't think I could be where 20, 30 years ago, where even caddies could not even talk to their players because there was no cell phone to be like, hey, I'm running 10 minutes late.
How did we
Yeah.
survive? I don't know how people did it.
I have absolutely no idea. And just finally, Lydia, it was really special, I thought, in 2020, you put on Instagram, you wrote a letter to your 15-year-old self when things, really started to take off and the world was at your feet. And you wrote to yourself, soak up every experience and endure every feeling, good and bad. Does the Lydia of 2023 do that? Is she true to her word?
I'd like to say so. I think sometimes even though we're not celebrities, we are in the public eye, especially when we're at a tournament, and with social media and everything like that. And I think sometimes when I realize that, oh, I'm pretending to smile or I'm pretending to be something that I'm not, I think it's like I get those kind of self-awareness wake up calls, and I think that makes me almost take a step back and be like, hey, you know what, it's okay to not be okay, and I think it's okay to be honest to your emotions. And I'm very lucky that my mom, my sister, my dad, and my brother-in-law and my husband, they're all there to see me for who I am and ask me the right questions that make me be very honest. And I think that's sometimes when you are like that, there's you're not sure if being vulnerable is not a good thing, but I think it is a good thing because we're all human. I'm just a human that comes from is from Korea and that grew up and that's playing a sport golf, and it doesn't make me any more special than anybody else. So I think being honest with myself, I think, is important, and that's the way I can protect myself, and it is something that I'm continuously going to work on. So yeah.
Well, Lydia Ko, we think you are pretty special, and we
We
appreciate
do.
you spending some time with us, always being so authentic, so real, and answering all of our silly questions. So thank you for stopping by. Give us all the
Thank you,
tea
Lydia.
in the midst of your busy travel schedule.
So, thank you.
That was great. I always love catching up with Lydia Ko. I mean, she's just one of the most open, honest, forthright players. I mean, she just tells you what it is, like it is. And like she said, just recognizing at those moments when she feels like she's not being authentic and not being herself. I mean, kudos to her for figuring that out at such a young age.
Yeah, I'm always just blown away by Lydia Ko. Sort of personality wise and how she comes across. She reminds me a lot like Roseanne, just very down to earth, so incredibly normal, so grateful for opportunities of, when she logged on and she said, "Well, thanks for having me on the podcast." And I'm like, "You've been world number one since, you've been 17. You are a prodigy in this game." But her whole mindset is just so understated, and that always is just what amazes me about Lydia Ko. She hasn't changed since the day she came out on tour, and here she is now, a married woman. And I love that she's found happiness. And yeah, she hasn't had the best season of her career, but she's made up for it in other ways personally. And for someone like that, I think that is just so important. And yeah, she was fantastic. And she had a bit of a cold, so even bigger
Yes.
kudos to her.
Kudos to her for still spending some time with us. Well, another prodigy who has made some headlines in recent weeks, Lexi Thompson. We've seen her kind of find a spark here late in the season. We saw it a little bit there at Solheim Cup, and she's been riding some momentum late into the year. And now this big announcement, she's going to be just the seventh woman to play in a PGA Tour event, teeing it up at the Shriners out in Las Vegas. What are your thoughts on this move?
I think my first thoughts, like most people's thoughts, was does she want to do this? She's not playing that well. And, you know, it's such a big stage playing on the PGA Tour and playing against the men. And you know, you really want to try and step up and perform and do it for the women. And I know, and actually, you're absolutely right. Since the Solheim Cup, that has triggered a fire inside of her. And it's sort of turned her season around. She lives for those events. So, you know, she's an absolute bomber. She's going to be hitting it as far as the best of them, you know, in terms of LPGA golfers. But I think she's really excited about it. And one thing I really love about Lexi is that she's all about sort of inspiring young women and girls. And as much as success she's had professionally, I think that is a huge focus for her going forward. She's still so young herself, mm-hmm. but I think she's out there to show girls, no matter how big your dream is, you can go and do it. So, you know, good for her. Lexi's been such a role model for so many American players for so many years now. And this is just a next step in that chapter. So go on, girl, make the cut. That's what I say.
Yes, that would be fantastic to see. Because we've seen a lot of the women, you know, tee it up, but haven't been able to make it to the weekend. So that would be awesome. And I feel like this is a nice little like teaser preview of what we're going to get to see at the end of the season, finally getting this Grant Thornton Invitational underway with a lot of the guys and girls teeing it up together, which will be awesome. I'm super excited for this new
event. Is she playing with I think she's playing with Ricky now, isn't she? I think
she
Ricky
is, yeah.
Was playing with Jessica Corder, who's obviously taking a step back, having a baby. So yeah, what a duo that is. That's cool.
I know, that'll be awesome. All right. Well, it was fun catching up with you, as always, Miss Anna Jackson.
As always, my friend. Thank you so much. Thank you to our lovely listeners as well. We'll see you very soon.
Yeah. Be sure to check out all episodes of Spilled the Tea. Catch up on some of our prior episodes wherever you get your podcasts, or head on over to YouTube and you can watch us. Not just listen, but you can see our lovely faces as well. Or visit NBCSports.com. All right. That does it for us. Anna, great to see you. We'll see you down the road.